Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning. A blessed morning we have here this morning. And being in September, it's still so beautiful out. The winter is coming. Snow is going to fall. And we look forward to that only when it comes, I guess. I'd rather be somewhere else where it doesn't, but maybe some of you too. But God has blessed us with a great morning again. And as I already said, we have the grace of God with us today again, as we are so thankful for that. And I pray that we have peace in our hearts today also, as we have gathered here as the Church of Jesus Christ. I pray that you are all, born again. And if not, then I pray that today that you will give your life to Christ, as we see that it's so necessary. We all have a path that we're going to, are walking, but yet we don't know when our path is at end. So today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will be glad and rejoice in it, especially when we have our Christians. And so I pray that we all have come to the knowledge of truth of Jesus Christ, and that you have given your life over. As I want to speak on that Jesus is coming again, and we have no idea when, but we do know that his return is, and we also realize that we may face some difficult times, and that's where I want to today just make that aware of us. But before we go on, I would just ask for that you bow your head for a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we are gathered here today, I pray that your Spirit is present here, that you will be pleased that we are here, that we are here to sing praises unto you, pray to worship you, to please you, Father. What you did for us, that loved us so much that you would send your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that we could have life eternal. This is very temporal, this life. And Lord, that we will also recognize it and that we will treat it that way, and that we will love you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, help us that we know that the world has much to offer. But Lord, help us to turn away from the world, to put our eyes just on you. And so today, as we pray here for ourselves and we worship you, Father, may you be honored. And also, Lord, we pray for those that are outside surrounding this building and also this town, the city of Winkler, the province of Manitoba, and also all of Canada. We pray for the people, Lord. We know that there's many are lost. And Lord, that they are in darkness, we pray that they will also come to the light. And Lord, we know many people are sick in hospitals or at home. Lord, knowing that there's days or seasons where there's flus going around, and we hear that. And yet, Lord, we pray that they would all just put their hearts close to you. And Lord, also other difficult things that people go through, we pray for them. We pray for our governments, Lord. We know that they are in great need of you, Father, and your Spirit, Lord. And we pray, Jesus, that you would ask the Father for us that help the governments, Lord, to come to you and learn of you more and also follow you in the way they should. So thank you for hearing us. And we, again, also want to pray for, we want to pray for Israel, knowing that it's your land. And your people, we just pray that you would also be with them and give them strength. So, Father, we give these all things into your hand, especially the message this morning. Give it into your hand that you would be pleased, Lord, and that you will move within our hearts, Lord, that knowing that, Jesus, you are returning and that there will be that return will also mean that we will... People will be rising. People will be going up, and then we also know that there is a millennium year, so or a thousand years. So we just pray in the name of Jesus these things, Amen. We'll have a couple of songs.
Take your red hymnbooks and turn to number 36. To the Lord my praises be. Number 36.
To thee, Lord, my praises be, as in dust I bend the knee, as in humbleness I bend the knee. None to thee can there compare, Lord, except my thankful prayer, Lord, except my fervent thankful prayer. Lord, I give thee what thine own, place my faith on thee alone. From sin, now I have thy peace within, now I have thy precious peace within. Lord, I give thee but thine own, place my faith on thee alone. Grant me e'er sincere in mind, that in thee my all I find. My sin was laid, thou for me the price hast paid, thou for me the ransom price hast paid. Lord, I give thee what thine own, place my faith on thee alone. Grant me e'er sincere in mind, that in thee
number 29. Number 29.
My song shall be of Jesus, his mercy crowns my days. He
beautiful songs, praises to God. That's one of my favorite songs, actually. And also, you know, my song shall be of Jesus. And that's one thing that no matter what, no matter what happens in our life, that our song is of Jesus. Suffering, no suffering, you know, that is something that we so often we forget that Jesus also suffered. We sometimes think that, you know, the days that we'll go through and there'll be times that there'll be suffering. Jesus suffered. And I want to talk about that a little bit later yet in Revelations. He talks about that. And so, but I want to start off with the verses in Revelations chapter 20. And Revelations chapter 20. And like I said, that, you know, Jesus is returning. And often we don't think about that enough. At least that's the way I understand it. Like even for myself, I don't think about that enough. I think about, you know what, life is going on and it just keeps going on. And yet we realize that there will be a time where Jesus will return. And when he returns, then he will take those that are his. And here in Revelations 20, verse 4, starting, he says, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. How beautiful that is. But, you know, the first part of it didn't sound so beautiful when we say, well, they were beheaded for Jesus. You know, the belief that what they had in the trials they went through, they didn't worship the beast. They didn't take the mark of the beast, which is very clear in this first verse here. And then he says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So here we can see that here with this passage, he says that's the first resurrection. And he says, blessed is those that, and holy, those that are part of that. And I pray that each and every one of us here are part of that. That is part of that. But we may face some real difficult times, as we see here that these, in verse 4, it talks about how he said, these that were what? In trials, tribulations. Another passage is that in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where we use it, at least I do when I do a funeral. This is what use there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18 says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So here you can see a great comfort here. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So we can see how the Lord has written here, saying, you know, don't worry about those that are sleeping in Jesus, that God will bring him with us, with him, when he comes. And so it's important for us to know that he is returning, and that he's returning shortly, and that also that we are prepared when he returns. that we are prepared, then we will be with the Lord. And then when we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when we go there, and he says this, starting at verse 51, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." So we can see the last trump, when it's followed, there will be very quickly. It will not be long time, like we sometimes, see that, lightning, when it comes, it strikes fast. It does not, it is not a long time. You can see it, and then it's gone. And so that's exactly, the Christ will come back. But as he said, our corruption, this flesh must put on incorruption. And so this mortal body must put on immortality. So it's clear that he's coming, and it's coming in a quick way. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when we go back a little bit in verses 20, verse 20 to 26, he says this. He says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of this that slept." So Christ is risen, and he was the first fruits of that from them that slept. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." And then he says in verse 22, he says, "For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order." Every man in his own order. That he says, Christ, the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Those that are Christ at his coming. And then, he says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put all rule and authority, and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." The last enemy. So here we see kind of the order a little bit, how he said what's going to happen, and exactly, because Adam, everybody died, and it says Christ, in Christ they shall live. But then he says, the order is this. Has its own order. Christ is the first fruit. He rose. And then he says, after they that are Christ at his coming. So I believe the verses I just read here in Revelations and also Thessalonians, that's exactly what he's saying. That is exactly what he's saying. He's saying that these things will happen. And then when we go to Matthew chapter 24, Matthew 24, verses 36 starting, he says, "But of that day and hour, no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the Son of Man be." So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So he's saying this is exactly as he saw that Noah was taken up partly, and then later he was put down again. He got the earth. Further, he says this, then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord does come. So we realize that he is coming. Is it tonight that is your day? Or your night that you're going to be taken? How do we know? When should we be ready? Every hour, every minute, every second of the day, we need to be ready so when he comes, because we don't know when we will be taken. We don't know. He says, but know this, that if a good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So the thing is very clear is that he's telling us, if we think we know when the Lord is coming, we don't. So here very clearly he states, he says, if you would know the thief when he's coming, you would be watching, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you be watching if somebody you knew that somebody was coming to steal your house or break in? Of course you would be. So that is exactly what he's saying here, is saying that we need to watch and be very careful that the house doesn't get broken up. That our house does not get broken up. That it is ready, prepared when the day he comes. And I say, have your suitcases packed. When you are traveling, I'm sure that your suitcases get packed and they're ready. Aren't they? Oh, none of you travel. I don't believe that. When we travel, we have our suitcases packed. We take them with. We're ready. And that's what we need to be when Christ comes, because you don't know when he comes. People don't know. They don't know if you're going to get a sick day. You don't know when you travel onto the road that somebody's going to turn in front of you and you're going to die. Your mortal body will die. Do you? No, we don't. I mean, just in August, in Seminole, there was two ladies. They did exactly that. They're traveling home from work, and guess what? A truck driver pulls right in front of them. We say, well, the truck driver didn't have drivers. They didn't know. But you know what? That is the end God had for them. We don't know when Christ is returning. We don't know. Therefore, he says, therefore, be ye also ready in an hour, and in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. That's exactly what we need to be. Ready in an hour we don't know. And then he says, Revelations, he says, here he talks about Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, 1 to 3. He says, the revelations of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and then signified it by his angel and his servant, John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. Then he says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. When Jesus says at the beginning of his ministry, he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So the time is short, the time is now. That isn't later, it isn't, you know, it is now. We need to make sure that we read, make sure we hear, and not just with our ear and then not do nothing about it, but hear with our heart and say, look, this is coming. Jesus is coming. He's coming. That we are ready, and that there could be trials and tribulations as we realize that our body brings us much of that. You know, something may happen to us, but But then another thing is that we have a very clear that there, in the world today, there's much trials and tribulations going on. I mean, just Friday night, there was, in Morocco, was a huge earthquake. 2,000 people died very instantly, maybe a whole lot more yet, don't know. But last I heard, they were, how quickly? And it wasn't during the day. This was during the night. This was like around 11 o'clock in the evening when probably most people are already in bed and sleeping. The trials that will come, we don't know. But I want to read Revelations chapter 2, verse 8 to 11, or first of all, 8 to 10, I want to read. And here it talks about the Smyrna church, the trials that they faced. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive, Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about here. And he says, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty. But he says, but thou art rich. How can that be possible? He says, you're facing these, you know, tribulation, these poverty. But he says, thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But thou shalt be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. What is he talking to? He's telling us to be obedient until death. He's saying that there will, many things will come. As yet, you know, we have very little trials as far as our faith goes in this country. Very little trials. But how solid would you stand, or how solid will you stand if you face these things? I think that's the question for me I have to ask. When Daniel was put into the trial, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, he says, I purposed. One thing he made very sure, I purposed in my heart not to defile myself with the king's bread or wine. So it's clear to us to say that, you know, we have to make ready today, not tomorrow, to see, oh, will I stand? No, today the trials are coming. So you see here, you're the church that faced great tribulation, but Jesus knows their works in poverty. But thou art rich, he says. Fear none of these things for which thou shalt suffer. Why? Because we are overcomers. Christians are overcomers. They overcome things. And we see in every one of the seven churches that Jesus talks about in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we see that he talks about, he says, overcoming. Overcoming. And that he has a reward. Because of time, I will not read all of them today. But one thing I want to do is, I want to say first is, too often, we as people, we have one excuse. I'm not perfect yet. That's why I do these things. I do these things because I'm not perfect yet. Or the other thing is I'm human. That's no excuse. Absolutely none. Jesus did not give us that excuse to say, look, I can't overcome this problem or this addiction or this bitterness. I can't overcome it. There is no such thing. Jesus gave us everything that we needed. Everything. He gave us the Holy Spirit, the power to overcome. And Jesus says very clear, or Paul, first of all, in Philippians chapter 3, he says this thing. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, starting to verse 14, he says, Not as though I had already obtained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do, he says, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Before. It's the cross. And when we think of the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Most of you will know this song. And we sang it when we were little children. There was a man that wrote it. He was persecuted. He lost his whole family right in front of his eyes. And he also did the other thing was himself. But one thing he had purposed in his heart, to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Paul says, I'm not looking back. I'm looking forward. And the one thing is that he had also decided to follow Jesus. And he says, I know whom I have believed in and persuaded that he's able to keep me against that day. That's what he had. He had decided. And for us, it is the same no matter what kind of persecutions we will go through. Revelations chapter 2, and I want to go to verse 26 and 27. Revelations chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So he talked about, and I looked up the word shivers, and that is in pieces. Not in our dictionary today, that's just shivers like having cold or something. But this one here in the older dictionary was saying that, you know, shivers, little pieces they were broken into, just like he received of his Father. He, Jesus Christ. And so that is one of the things what he's very clearly stating. And so before we go further, whoever is able to kneel, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take our blue hymnals and turn to page 401, Where He Leads, I Will Follow. Let's stand, please.
Sweet.
beautiful song. wherever he leads us, I will follow. I mean, if you listen to that message and that song, it's how great. But not always easy. We went to did a visitation yesterday, and they have decided to not to follow the things that the world offers, and they said the most difficult thing is, or who brought the most persecution was the Christians, the church. They were the most difficult. And that is something that we, I think that's so hard to take, because I also remember our devotional we had was this gentleman had to decide it and had also been called by Jesus, saying that he was supposed to sell himself as a slave. And these were in the, I don't remember the years, but he was supposed to be sold as a slave. And he decided he would do that. And he actually had, when he was there, he thought he would get the most persecution would be from the slave master, because he decided he was not going to stay in the slave master's house. He was going to go live with him in the huts, the slaves' huts, and teach them about Jesus. But he said, no, it was the Christians. It was the fellow believers that were the ones that persecuted him the most. And he says, that was the most difficult. In 3 years, and I've asked many people, they say, well, how many people do you think were converted? How many slaves? And we don't hear about that in Winkler or Altona, that when the word of God goes out, that there's people coming to Christ like that. In 3 years, 13,000 slaves were converted because he was obedient. He was faithful to God. That is what God wants us to be faithful, what he calls us to do, no matter what or who persecutes. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says this, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So he's really saying, you know what, that in this part, they're saying, you shall have peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. That when Jesus comes in, there is peace. A gentleman years ago, he says, you know, somebody, when he was drinking and he had all these things going on in his life, and he says, you know what? Somebody asked me when Jesus had come in, in one word, can you describe it? Peace. When Jesus came in, there was peace. The question is, do we have peace? Or does the whole world around us give us so much trials and tribulations, or, you know, that we can't have peace? I said, used to be, I had to relax. When I went home from work, I could not relax other than I had a beer. How many of us still need a beer? How many of us still need that little bit of shot of whiskey or whatever? How many of us? But I said, when the Holy Spirit moved in, I said, I didn't need that no more. Some say, I need to take a vacation so that I can rest. You know what? You can take a vacation every day, because you can have peace and rest every day, every morning. You can have that because the Spirit of God is with you. You can spend this time with Him that's absolutely no turmoil at all. Because when you take a vacation, when you go away, you come home, you're tired. I know it because I've been there. When God came in me, that was cleared up. As Paul said, I said, I read before, I said, I'm not perfect yet. I haven't obtained yet. But this one thing doing is forgetting those things which are behind me. Those things we need to leave behind us. We can't take them with us anymore. Every day is a day of peace. Do we face tribulations, trials? Yes, we do, and we will. Further in Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Paul says this, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. I'm exhorting you today to continue in the faith, in the faith in Jesus Christ, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. What did it say? Tribulation, trials. Yes. Brothers and sisters, this is not an easy journey when we took on the cross, when we picked up that cross. It was not an easy journey. That's not what Jesus said. As I read before, it was broken to shivers. We may also be. But I have decided to follow Jesus. And I pray that you have done the same. Luke chapter 13, 24. Luke 13, 24. He says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Strive is a word that is used as agony. With agony, entering in. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3, says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, for a little time, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7, it says, and the trials of your faith, the trials of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. We sometimes don't realize what it means, fire. The trials of fire. Tried with fire. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ appears, that we, you know, that there's praise and honor and glory. Who having not seen, ye love. In whom, though ye now, ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Salvation of your souls. And when we go a couple of pages further, chapter 4 there in that same, he says this, beloved. You know, again, Peter is just, you know, starting off with saying, you know, beloved, think it not strange. Think it not strange, he says, concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened. You know, many times you say, well, you know, these difficult times I'm going through, so what's happening? Don't count it strange, he says. Very clearly he states here, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But he says, rejoice. Rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of what? Christ's sufferings. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad and also be exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory in God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. This is Christ, that he's glorified. You know, talking even like when he says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. You know, that we, when we are tried with our, in our faith that we have. And Jesus, going back to Matthew 24, he says there will be many difficult times. Matthew 24, we're starting at 15. He says, and when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. I'm not going to read Daniel today. I'm not going to read it. You can read Daniel. Go read it. And it will tell you all kinds of things. The things that he spoke on what would happen. He says, but then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. When we think about, when I think about that, it's like, what do you mean? I got to leave my house? You got to leave everything that's behind? That's exactly what he's saying. That we will have to leave everything. How is this all going to take place? I don't know. And I don't think anybody can really explain it yet, because it's not the point yet at that point. But that we hold nothing of this world in our hand so tight that I can't let go. That is the point. Neither let him which... in verse 19 he says, woe unto them that are with child and unto them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. I don't know. I can't explain to you what that really all means. I'll take it just what it says. But he says further, he says, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world in this time, nor ever shall be. But here he gives us comfort. In verse 22, he says, except those days shall be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. How wonderful. He gives us a encouragement, even though there's going to be these difficult times coming. And then he warns us about false prophets in the next little while. He says, and if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, and so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So he's clarifying that there's false prophets out there. We have to be, as I said before, we have to be very, very sure who we believe in. Because these false prophets, they're very convincing. They are very convincing. They're very flattering. They're very soft. They're very good at deceiving people and drawing people away into the wilderness. To find him there. He's not there. Where is Christ? Where is Christ? He's within you, is exactly what the scripture says. I want to go there. Luke chapter 17, I believe it is. Luke chapter 17. Starting at verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom, this is verse 20, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. So we can see that it's not, run over there. That's where you might find Christ. No, he's within you. And then further on in Matthew chapter 24, going back to Matthew 24, he says, "Behold, in verse 25, I have told you before. Therefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall be not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the signs of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and of great glory. And he shall send his angel with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four corners, four winds, from one end to the heaven to the other." This is all Jesus' words that he's speaking here. So we can see the trials and the tribulations that are there. As also Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, also 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as he talks about here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30 and 31. But we want to make sure that we know the voice of Jesus. We need to know the voice of Jesus. As we turn to John chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, he says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him." They follow Jesus. "He goeth out before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." That's why it's so important that we know Jesus personally, very personally. Very personally. Because there's many voices out there. Very many negative voices out there. And lots of people, they listen to those negative voices. And we need to not do that. Jesus also talks further in Mark chapter 13. It's also similar to what Matthew was talking about. He was talking about in Matthew. But a few different things that he speaks on here in verse 32 and on. Mark chapter 13, verse 32 says, "But of that day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants." Who are the servants? We are his servants. "He gave authority to us and to all men his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." It's very, very important to watch. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark chapter 14, at verse 32, he says also, He says, Mark chapter 14, verse 32, when he was in Gethsemane there in the garden, he also warned the disciples. He says, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Everywhere he says, watch and pray. Be awake. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So he's making it, putting it into the Father's hand and saying, your will, not mine. The cup he would drink for all the sins of the world. But he says, he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. So we can see how very weak our flesh is, that we can very easily, well, I don't feel like it. And so I don't want to do that. I'd want to do something else. For me, I think we ought to teach more revelation. We also need to read more revelations. We need to read the whole Bible. I think that's very important for us, that we read the whole Bible. But you know what? We are in the last days, and the Revelation very clearly states there's times to come what we need to be very aware of. And one of the things that I find that we don't talk much more about, you know, the mark of the beast. We don't talk about it. Why? Because people don't want to hear it. They don't. They don't want to hear that, you know what, the time is coming where there will be that trial, that persecution. But we need to prepare the people. We need to be prepared. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Verse 13 and 14 says this, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? So here was a clear, you know, it was a question saying, you know, there's one of the elders. These are arrayed in white robes. And where did they come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the robe, in the blood of the Lamb. So these came out of great tribulation. We see that there's many churches or many people have already made predictions that when Jesus is coming, many. There were even many years ago, there were missionaries that went to China, and they've already promised that they would not go through these tribulation time. They would not go through the tribulation time. That's many years ago, and today they're still facing that. Why? Because they don't join the mainstream church. They don't. So they said they wouldn't, but now today they already have. But they have faced great tribulation. The Japanese church has faced great tribulation in years ago. And I want to read one of incident. And this young man's name was Ibaraki Kun. And this was from Japan. After they all had been tried, found guilty, sentenced to death. 26 Christians were marched to the place where crudely made crosses stood. Almost 3 months earlier, they had been arrested in Kyoto, Japan, and charged with following Christ. One of the convicts was named Ibaraki Kun. Seeing how young Kun was, an official took him aside and urged him to recant his faith to save his life. Looking the official in the eye, Kun said confidently, "Sir, it would be far better if you yourself became a Christian. Then you could go to heaven with me." The officer stared, startled by the young man's faith. Finally, Ibaraki asked, "Sir, which cross is mine? Which cross is mine?" The bewildered official pointed to the smallest of the 26 crosses. Young Kun ran to the cross, knelt before it, and embraced it. When the soldiers began to nail his hands and feet to the cross, he did not cry out in pain. He courageously accepted the path God had laid out for him. The crucifixions of the 26 Christians on November 23rd, 1596, and there's a reason why I'm reading this. We have to know that there's been, you know, persecution going on for ever since Christ has come and the one we believe in today. Was the beginning of a period of intense persecution of Christians in Japan. I would have never thought that Japan would have been a Christian people that living in Japan would live, Christians would be living there. Over the next 70 years, as many as 1 million Japanese Christians would be killed for their faith. Many would embrace their own crosses to follow the example of Ibaraki Kun, a very mature 12-year-old. It wasn't an older gentleman. This was a 12-year-old child. But he had, it was okay. He didn't mind the path God had put forward to him. Spiritual maturity is not measured by a birth certificate. Chronological age has little to do with conviction. Rather, spiritual maturity is measured on a day, measure one day at a time. We measure our maturity by how well we daily apply our faith. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual maturity is not how much we know about the Bible. Many people are very familiar with the Bible. Many people are very familiar with the Bible, yet they remain strangers to spiritual maturity. Obedience to the Bible's command is the mark of maturity. One question will help us know how well we are grown, or are grown, growing in spirituality. We must ask ourselves each day, how much more do we look like Jesus today than we did yesterday? But we also have to know Jesus if we want to measure that. Our answer is a true reflection of our growth. To me, sometimes I think we are teaching people there's an easy way out. and there isn't. I hear the words pre-tribulation rapture. Often people talk about that. Will God take us out of here? Great if he does. Are we ready if not? Are we ready if he doesn't? Where's our faith? God will not pour his wrath upon his children. He can protect them just like he did the Israelites in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 11, 23. Moses asked him, you know, when he said he would feed them with the animals, with meat. Then Moses had a question. How are you going to do that? Are you going to feed all the animals that this group has? And the Lord says this, is the Lord's hand vexed short? Do we not believe that God can do anything? People, let us not be afraid. Let us be comforted. I want to, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 and 4 says this, blessed be God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Verse 31 and on, it says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own son, but delivereth him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for these words. Thank you for your salvation that you gave through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit again today. And Lord, I pray that every one of us will know you personally, Jesus, that are here today. And if not, Lord, will they? That you give them a soft heart and that they will make their way to someone that can help them walk through this, that they can have salvation, that they can have this assurance that they're Jesus, that you died for them, and that you saved them through the blood that you spilled on the cross, and that they will believe that, Lord. If there is one here today, or should there be someone that is listening somewhere, that, Lord, that they will make a way, that they will ask for help. Lord, we pray for those that are not saved, We pray for those that don't have this salvation. Help them out of that darkness, Lord. We cry, Lord. So again, Father, we pray for this message, that you empower it. Lord, forgive me where I have failed, where I made mistakes, Lord. But Lord, correct them. And help me also to do better. So again, Father, thank you for your word as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a few prayer requests before we go to prayer. Please pray for an individual who is experiencing a lot of back pain. Person did not want their name be mentioned, but please pray for this. God knows who he is or she. And then also, I would just ask that you would also pray for Henry Peters. It is Corny Peters, is the usher here, was his brother, had a heart attack in down south. I believe he lives in Mexico, but he had it in the States. He's doing much better, but was just asked, would you pray for him, Henry Peters, and that he can get well and so and trust in Jesus. And then I have one announcement yet I want to make before we go to prayer, is that announcement of intended marriage. Hopefully I get the names right. Wesley James Radicop. The parents are Corny and Margaret Radicop of Plum Coulee. And then also the bride is Kayla Chanel Weeb. Hope that's right. The parents are Willie and Tina Weeb of Randolph. And so these are both members of our church. The announcement is made for the purpose of that if any person has a valid reason to oppose this marriage, that it may be done in the time thereafter forever hold their peace. Could I ask you to stand, please? Thank you. You can be seated. Whoever's able, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
From the Blue Hymn Book, number 49, The Comforter Has Come. Number 49.
Fire.
Good morning. For those that are planning to come to the men's breakfast this next Saturday, please take note that it will be at 9 a.m., not 8 a.m. as it is in the bulletin. So keep that in mind. And also, today is our church picnic, so I believe they are there now getting our lunch ready, so you are all invited to come, and don't forget your lawn chairs. Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't look at the time today, so I went a little longer, and so I will want to bless you yet with the benediction. So let us bow our heads. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord preserve thy going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember that Jesus loves you.